And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Anderson.
I'm Laura Mangone.
And Rob Bell.
I missed you guys last week.
Yes, you were away.
You were at a wedding.
Cincinnati / Kentucky for a wedding. My childhood best friend's son's wedding, which was in the most beautiful venue ever been in. I mean, of all years of weddings, catering.
And you've done a lot of weddings.
The most beautiful venue. You have to look at the pictures.
It was just...
It was just a beautiful barn on this, you know, multi acre piece of property. And just with thoughtful touches, like there was a bridal suite for the men adjoining the, you know, the restrooms for the guests, like a man cave for the ushers or groomsmen. It was so beautiful. It was just incredibly beautiful. I have to show you the beautiful...
And the food?
I helped.
Man cave implies football and beer.
No, but you know, like the dressing room for the men. Like the women have a bridal suite where the bridesmaids and everybody are getting dressed.
The dude hang out.
The dude hang out.
Right, but I don't know what I'd call it.
It was very... Well, it was kind of like a man cave. It was lots of tufted leather, and it was beautiful. But the venue itself was just gorgeous. And I helped on Friday... We went and helped set everything up, and I ended up making lots and lots of beautiful centerpieces that were as big as this table. Just floral, just on
the
table,
free form.
Gorgeous.
How many people?
160.
Was this the one that you were supposed to do the cake?
The groom's cake, yes, and I ordered the groom's cake, and because I was trying to figure out the logistics.
Getting the cake on the plane.
The cake looked like a bulldog.
For 160, yeah.
And it looked like a bulldog
like their
carrying
bulldog.
A can of beer.
Aww. Looked like their bulldog. And, of course, when it got there, everybody's like, oh, my God, the cake. Because the rehearsal dinner was the night we arrived.
She's showing us a picture now.
Yeah. It looked just like their dog.
It does.
I mean, it
doesn't look edible.
It looks
but you
just
didn't
like
do
their
it.
Dog. I didn't. I interviewed multiple bakers.
She
out
was bringing
in
me
Kentucky.
Through the logistics of this freaking cake thing, and I swear it wasn't me, but I was starting to get agita. It was like, no, Laura, you can't.
I was
put the
considering
cake
it. I was trying
overhead
to figure it out.
Storage.
Well, I didn't. I was trying to figure it out.
How would Cake Boss handle this?
Part of it here, part of it there. No, if I had another day, I thought the rehearsal dinner was on Friday night. We arrived Thursday afternoon. I was all good with it. But then I found out the rehearsal dinner was Thursday night.
What, you going to drive?
No, I was going to fly components there, which is easily done. You free stuff and then
there.
Finish it there, wrap it there, which would have been fine.
Easily done.
So, of course, everybody was saying, oh, thank
piece
you. Oh, my gosh, it's gorgeous. And I had to say, well,
I didn't make it.
I know. Right.
But it was fine. And they loved it so much. They did not.
Headset.
They didn't want to serve it. They didn't want to cut it at the rehearsal dinner. So then we brought it to the wedding. And then it got cut at the wedding.
Uh-huh.
It was just a beautiful wedding.
And what kind of cake was it, by the way?
It was a chocolate cake with chocolate ganache and chocolate buttercream.
Mm, chocolate.
But then, fondant wrapped.
Right. A white fondant.
White and chocolate fondant.
And you claim that your fondant actually tastes good.
My fondant tastes good. This was the same brand, because I'm telling you, I put these bakers through a drill. I had like a line of questions. This is how I narrowed it down to which baker I was going to use.
Was it based on the type of the fondant?
Well, it was based on their previous work. I wanted to see pictures of their carved cakes, but it was also based on... Yeah, what kind of fondant do you use? Do you make your own? What kind of buttercream? You know, I wanted to know specifics. And, of course, they see my signature on my email address, so they know.
Now, can you...
I'm asking with some
you can buy pre-made
level of
fondant.
Professional. Oh,
you
yeah.
Can, oh.
Satin ice, it's called. It's the best kind. It tastes good.
And so what is it, like folded up?
No,
into...
it's in a big giant tub, and you knead it. You roll it.
Oh, so it needs to be kneaded.
It needs to be kneaded and rolled. It's just the dough.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's good. It tastes like marshmallows and vanilla. Yeah, it's really good.
Huh.
I'll bring you some.
You want to hear about
lots of it.
What we were talking about last week, I think. I had just gotten this inquiry for a little catering job in the city for 12 people. And you'll appreciate this, Laura, because, you know, I only do small stuff now, but... Sometimes it's more than one person, you know, and sometimes even he might not realize he wanted steak frites.
Right.
So, and he not only wanted that, he wanted me to try to duplicate a recipe from a recipe.
Of steak and fries. Like, what's the
The special the sauce that's L'entrecote.
Oh, entrecote. Well, entrecote is a cut of beef, but a traditional, it's like a demi-glaze sauce.
It's not a demi-glaze, and I was looking online for, because they don't give away the recipe, but other people have tried to duplicate it.
Right.
And I've seen everything from sauces with chicken livers in them to jazzed up.
An entrecote sauce that we would do at like a classical quote unquote that we would do at school, or actually not even at school, at the Ritz-Carlton. And it was basically the entrecote is a strip that's pounded a little bit. It's so it's the cut. That's the cut, the name of the cut, as well as, and the sauce we would do was sort of like a demi-glaze, maybe with capers and shallots.
I mean, you could do any number of sauces would be considered.
What did he want, though?
He said he'd be fine with sort of if a Bernays, like a jazzed up Bernays or something. Right. And I was thinking like a Beurre Rouge or something.
Right.
Maybe make a couple different sauces for. Right. But anyway, it was a little stressful thinking. You know how somebody says, here, you have to duplicate this.
Right.
Yeah. And especially for if it's old Aunt Betty's, you know, new Kugel recipe, I won't even do it.
Right.
Because
Aunt Betty threw
Aunt Betty
some stuff in there.
Threw some stuff in and everybody goes, it doesn't taste like Aunt Betty. And, you know, so so the steak frites, like, no problem, right? Mm-hmm. But the last time I made French fries.
I had a commercial oven
and commercial deep fat fryer.
Right.
So I don't do a lot of, I don't have a lot of fried stuff on my menu for that reason. I don't really, I would have to rent kitchen space, dump whatever I need to do in the fryer. It just doesn't work.
Could have come to Chambersville.
I know, but I tend to stay away from that. And even on a personal level, I'm not making French
Eating
fries.
Fried
so,
fruit. Right.
And to do them right, I know we've had several shows where we talk about it, and Rob and I, you know, and he says they have to be fried twice
and
all this stuff, and I'm sure to get the oil just to the right temperature, which I wasn't sure that my little dinky home fat fryer getting.
What do
to
you have, like one of those little Fry Daddy things?
I have like a little Fry Daddy, but you can only get it to 375, and sometimes I feel like you have to go a little hotter for good fries, so. So, and then he wanted...
So did you do them on site, or you did them ahead of time and then just put them in the oven after?
This is all planning stages, you know? Right. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm sensing another Lucy Ricardo
moment
in Manhattan, because I'm picturing, you know, the deep fat fryer, you know, now, and all of these dishes, because it's like a plated sit down, and they want creme brulee. Mm-hmm. So that means, you know...
You need a blowtorch.
Torch, which I have to replace. I'd have to get it from Amazon. So I was like, not freaking out, but just kind
of
like,
really
wow,
have
this
to remember.
One, I'm going to bust
a lot
my ass
of this
for this
stuff.
One.
Yeah.
I know, but I can't come to you every time I need something.
I know. But once in a while you can.
So we went through several conversations, and this guy sounded like, you know, I entertain a lot, but this is the first time I'm having it catered by a personal chef, and I would like to think that I would do more of these.
Right.
So I gave him.
So he's hanging a carrot in front
he
of your
did.
Face. Like,
right.
And don't
trying to get the price
don't
down.
Don't frittata it up, because there's going to be more where this came
from.
That's
a typical strategy to keep the price low.
Right.
No, but y'all give you more business after this.
Just more business.
No, but it's interesting that you say that, because the opposite happened. I'm used to being the most expensive one. I'm used to dealing with that objection all the time.
Right.
And I'd rather be the one that's more than less.
Right, because you're being realistic, and it's not quantity. You're not doing 16 parties a week where you can keep your costs down a little
bit. And if I have your dinner party for 12, that's all I'm thinking about all week. You know, it's like it's very personalized, customized thing.
Yep.
So this guy, and it was his 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what I do, instead of charging let's say I would, whatever I'd have to do, like 75, 80 bucks a head for mm-hmm. the dinner, mm-hmm. even though, okay, mind you, they can get this same dinner at the restaurant for $29.
Right.
Right.
With a first course of a salad.
Right. But you can't think of it in those terms because you're doing it. You're buying it.
Doing
you're
it at the
personalized.
House, but it's going to cost. Okay. Even I looked at this menu. This is a pretty well-known place. And they start their bottles of wine at 30 bucks. So this is not, this is probably one of those good, solid French bistros. That's right. The only thing on the menu, by the way.
We should go there.
The steak.
I love steak frites.
So all you do is, I mean, I would love that. Yeah.
Let's go.
So I was really, I was concerned that this was going to be. So,
but, he was cool with the cost analysis in the beginning?
Instead of doing the 80 bucks a head or whatever I would have done, plus the on-site fee, mm-hmm. I did a time and materials job. And I do this sometimes for smaller numbers. Mm-hmm. It protects me. It means that I don't make a ton, but it protects me basically with a full or half day rate.
Right.
I make what I need to make. Mm-hmm. And typically people tip me really well. So I thought to do it this way would probably come out a little better for him financially. And he told me, he looked at the menu. He said it looks fabulous. Price is very competitive.
Okay.
But I just want to let you know, I have three other quotes from other guys and they're all coming in way higher than you are. Can you explain the difference? Like, why
really?
So cheap? Yes.
Because you're one person. Versus a staff.
Right.
So what did you tell? What did you tell?
He said, so some of these, you're charging $20 per person for the food. Now that was an estimated grocery receipt, not what
not
I would charge
what
him
charging.
With a markup.
Yeah.
So and the others came to 65.
Yeah.
And so I said, I'm treating this as T&M. So you're getting a grocery bill.
And
their
then you're getting
65
time
is marking
and,
that up clearly. Mm-hmm. And then what's probably happening is theirs is probably $200 or $300 more at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the only reason I priced this one this way is because you said this might be a regular thing.
Right.
So you see, it works. Strategy.
It works
but
if he
no,
calls
but he
again.
Didn't, he wasn't
right, but
after.
Quite often
that's
they
not
don't.
What he was after.
Right.
Because all of a sudden we were talking and wow, looks good. And he calls me and he says, oh, Deirdre, the person, my friend who was helping me coordinate this just went with the other guy. The one who is way more expensive. And I think in this case, they see a profile. They see a Haitian guy in a nice, clean chef's hat.
Yeah.
And they think he's more and he's better.
And you're undercharging.
And I'm like the little lady with the apron on.
You're not
the
charging
kitchen,
enough.
And I'm not charging enough,
sometimes.
So I must. It ruined my credibility.
Yep.
Not with this guy. You might want to tell me that, you know, it's usually
the partner.
In sales, you're supposed to deal with the decision maker.
Right.
When you're dealing with a 40th birthday party for 12 people and it's the birthday boy, you kind of assume he's the decision maker.
Well, and
yeah, you
also,
do.
It could be a line. It also could be he made a decision and didn't want to just own up to the decision that we've chosen someone else. That was the, you know.
Would he be willing to give you the other bids? I've had people do that with my video business where I'm like, where they pick somebody else who was more. And I'm like, do you mind letting me see the bid? Because I just want to see what they're charging you for. And then it gives you like a...
Eh.
It gives
I don't
you an
think
idea
that makes
of
a difference.
What
I
competition
don't
is
show
charging.
You the bids.
Yeah,
but
a lot
of
people don't
he might.
Wanna.
You might be like, you know what? I came in way under, and you went with somebody else. Can I? Do you mind if I could see?
Well, it was one
you
of
could,
those.
You could black out the name of the.
I know,
caterer.
But I don't think that would really is not going to determine what she's going what you're going to do
no,
in
it's,
the future.
Well,
it's
if,
nice,
if she's always
it's
underbidding
nice
by
information
a huge,
to have, you know, it's
yeah,
not necessarily that I'm going to use something exact that moment to,
right.
you know,
so
strategize
you know what,
against it. But at least it's nice to see what other people
you know
are
what
doing.
The competition
and,
is charging. Yeah. I think that's important.
But right. I did. I was sad for about 2 seconds because I was like, oh, Lucy doesn't have to cater in the city this weekend.
Don't have to worry about fries. Don't have to worry about. Doneness
stupid
of
sauces,
steak.
Doneness of steaks.
Because now you're doing it there, which means
the
you've got to be
bitter.
Grilling and marking here and finishing there.
I'm
and
getting
the Wind and Bitter probably charged a pain in the ass upcharge because it is a difficult job.
Maybe.
When would I have made, I was if I had gotten it, I would have made the creme brulees in the morning.
I would have done on the day before.
Torched him.
I would have done on the day before.
And you do a day or two before?
Yeah.
Like if you're in a restaurant.
It doesn't matter.
You do a batch of creme brulee and then you just burn them each one.
Burn them each one. You know, put the sugar in, torch it to order. Yeah. The steaks could have been done the day before, grilled, marked, held, finished them in the oven. Different temperature, you know, find out your temperature list.
Yeah.
And the fries on site.
Basically fries, no, you same thing. You could have fried them, kept them on sheet pans, on racks,
all these
you know,
tests
so they're not sitting in grease and then reheat. You know, it's...
I'm glad I didn't get
degree of difficulty is 8.2.
Well, he said, I definitely... You know, you've been such a pleasure to deal with, and I want to try you again. You know, want to give you another shot. And I said, okay, great, sounds good. You know, just say, you know, I was just up on a billboard in Times Square for a few months,
good.
So
keep
maybe you'll
that.
Get me good, before good. I get famous.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, you wink, wink.
Add that in there.
I know. Good. All right, we're out of time.
We'll be back.
We'll be back on more discussion about food, on Food for Thought.
Are you behind on your taxes? The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote at 800-695-8063. 800-695-8063. Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $2 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're being taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $2. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 45 blue pills or 45 yellow pills for $99 and add 5 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call us at 800-359-9116 and get your 50 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-359-9116. 800-359-9116. 800-359-9116.
And welcome to Food for Thought.
We're back.
We're back. Now, I screwed up the kale. I made some kale last night.
Yeah?
How'd you screw up kale?
And I don't know how to cook a good kale. So can you guys help me out with that?
What'd you want to do with it?
I just want it to be delicious.
So you just... cut it up.
Because it's so good for you. I want
you
to eat it.
You take it off the ribs, the center rib.
Oh, that was the first mistake I made. Yeah, okay. I didn't take it off
take
the center
it off
rib.
The center ribs. Okay. Chop it up. Saute an onion or shallots.
Which is what I did. I had the
throw some garlic in there.
Garlic.
Onions first. Let that cook a minute. Then garlic. Throw the kale in. Toss it around a little bit.
You could.
I splash it with a little bit of wine.
I put too much soy sauce on
it,
too. And the soy sauce overpowered everything.
You let it cook. It takes like 10 minutes
to cook. And also, you can parboil it. Sometimes it takes a little
bother.
It doesn't need it.
Bitterness.
I mean, it cooks quick.
Yeah, I mean, some people do. I don't bother anymore with the parboiling. Some people swear by it for taking away some of the bitterness.
But it was taking off the stem that I didn't do.
Yeah.
Because that's half of it. Like, most of it is stem.
That's key.
So you need like two.
And it was
you need a whole bunch.
You need two heads.
Yeah.
Because if you take the stem out, there's not going to be hardly anything left.
No, there'll be a good quantity.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I made really good.
Everything else I made was good. Kale. My fries were incredible. Peanut oil.
I find that the white wine is helpful too, because when I do kale, if I just do like a dry saute, I always put a lid on for a little while.
Oh, I put a little white wine on it.
Yeah, you let it sweat.
A little white wine to let it absorb some of that.
Yeah, I always put the lid on it. I put a little white wine on it, but I put too much soy sauce.
Splash or whatever.
How about some pancetta?
Yum.
Well, I was having steak, so I didn't want
to
go too hard on
the meat. Wild mushrooms. I think wild mushrooms and kale are my favorite combination.
Together?
Yes.
Because mushroom is so delicate. I make a fabulous mushroom.
Oh, no. Delicious.
Doesn't need kale.
Delicious together. Then throw some sausage and white beans in there. Ooh.
Speaking of white beans, I'm
there. You go. You got a yummy kale bean soup.
All right, I didn't put the onions either. I did not do the onion part.
Which you need.
It literally you cook in like 10 minutes.
I just didn't think of that.
The sweetness of the onion balances the bitterness of the kale.
Okay. Right. All right, I'm gonna try again.
You used to be. Did you eat kale?
Not kale.
I mean,
no.
Did you eat it? Or
no, it was actually so bad I could not eat it.
Was it Tuscan kale or the regular?
It was beautiful looking kale.
Nice.
Very fresh looking.
I love kale.
I find it's that so Tuscan good for kale is way too, just so much different than the curly.
I love it all.
It was very curly. A lot of curls on the leaves.
I love it.
Not my favorite.
I bought it at the shop, right? You mean there's another kind?
Tuscan is tends to be the organic. Mm-hmm. Not always, but it tends to be organic.
Leaves?
And it doesn't have that curly leaf.
It's not it's still curly, but it's not as curly.
It's like got a bubbly leaf. I forget how to.
Tuscan? I'll keep an eye out for that.
I think it's milder.
Yeah.
It's a little bit softer skin. And it's dark green.
You know what's really good are those?
They're all really
crispy
good for
kale,
you.
Like chips?
Great source of iron.
How do you make that?
Kale chips, so I make them all the time. You try to get the biggest head you can with big leaves, and you peel them off. Everything comes off
the stem. Okay.
I mean, I take everything off the stem. I have stewed or put it in a soup with the stem because it's going to be more, you know, cooking longer. And you dry the leaves really well. And you put a little bit of olive oil and whatever you want, garlic, Parmesan, whatever. And you put them on a rack. You know, when I say on a rack, it's almost like a cookie rack,
yeah.
But not flat. It's on the rack that you would dry after cookies come out of the oven. You put them on a rack. You know, the grid.
Oh, so these will be in the oven on the rack.
In the oven on the rack on a tray.
On the rack. I need to buy that.
That's what I was talking about with the French fries too.
I don't have that.
Because you don't want them sitting in.
Oh,
the,
okay.
Yeah, and especially if you have a convection oven? I can't remember.
I don't know. It's cheap electric.
So if I do it at work, we have convection ovens. I mean, I have one at home. But when I do it at work, because the air is blowing all around it, that rack is super important because the air gets under it. And then you just put them in there and let them dry for, gosh, it doesn't take very long.
275?
What temperature?
275? No. 375.
375.
Really?
Yes.
And they're done.
I'll bring you some. Oh, they're delicious.
And they get crispy?
They get totally crispy.
A short amount of time?
Yep.
And it's really good for you, I guess.
They're good. They're Kale's like good potato you. Chips.
Yeah, but much better for you.
Yeah, now, I mean, ones that you buy commercially, they put ground nuts on them. So there's, I think, that one brand, you know, the one that comes in the eggshell. Right, it has like cashews or something.
Yeah. It's a freaking
fortune,
too. I'm
not fond of that.
I just put a little bit of olive oil.
Actually, if you have an olive oil spray, that works well because you can get a mist. Salt, pepper. Sometimes not even salt, just Parmesan.
You don't feel
that
this needs a food dehydrator?
No, I do it all the time.
So could I make? I've been wanting to try to make like zucchini chips and
stuff.
Yeah. I don't need a dehydrator.
You do not. I mean, it does help that you have a convection oven because it's blowing.
Right.
But I believe you can do it in a regular oven. I don't know. I'll have to do a little.
Yeah.
Do a little.
I don't know.
R&D.
I doubt if this cheap oven is anything. Well, other than a regular oven.
We'll try.
Now, I have to make...
Kale chips. I have to remember to bring them next
kale
week.
Kale chips next week. I can eat those.
When I text you on Wednesday night next
try
week...
Try to remember what we talked about.
I actually go back to the podcast sometimes to hear...
I promise I said
I was going to bring something and I can't remember what it was.
I have... A couple pound bag of shrimp. Now, the last time I love when I discover recipes that are classic recipes, but I've never heard of them for whatever reason. And the last time I did a shrimp dish that I wasn't familiar with, although there was nothing earth shattering in the recipe, was shrimp cacciucco.
Cacciucco.
Cacciucco. And it basically is with a tomato product and cannellini beans and who knows what else. But it's like,
lots of herbs.
Is this for a client or just for you?
Did you make it?
For me.
Okay.
It's good.
I haven't done it yet. I'm asking for ideas for either tonight or tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow night. But just
I have been into
16, 20.
So you could grill them.
Yeah, I'm so into grilled shrimp. I love the flavor of charred
shrimp.
It's
the best.
It's my favorite thing in the world. Really.
I could eat, and we actually did eat a couple. I could eat this every day. Grilled salmon over greens.
Oh, you sent me a video of that.
I didn't mean to send you that.
Why?
I was.
You better be careful if you're sending videos to people you don't know you're sending.
I know.
It was pretty innocuous. It was how to make salmon.
I was watching this recipe for salmon, and I hit the button to see what, say, watch again, and I sent it to Rob.
Okay.
So like, okay, I'm glad that wasn't.
I watched it.
Too, but he, and he sends
and
back.
And what was special about it? What was special about it?
It was with a, like a honey lime glaze or something.
It wasn't special. It was very simple.
It was simple.
Yeah.
It was basic.
So that's your favorite?
Why don't you send me this?
Grilled salmon with greens?
Ideally, I love it. Just I dust it with just chili powder, cumin, and coriander. And then the greens. And I love just like all arugula or those really...
I love arugula.
Kale, baby kale, you know, the intense greens. And avocado and chopped onion, tomato, and...
I could eat that every day.
I could eat it every day.
You know what I've been eating every day? A Cobb salad with grilled shrimp.
Really?
I've had it like 3 nights that Mario was working a lot this past week. I had it. Plus, I had a cold that I was fighting, which you probably can still hear in my voice. Brought a cold home from Cincinnati. Yeah, I had a Cobb salad with greens and blue cheese and grilled shrimp. And I left off the egg because I'm, you know.
But see,
I'm
is that the definition of a Cobb salad? It's got a boiled egg in it?
I know, but I don't want the egg. And onion. I took that out, too.
It's called the egg.
I left the bacon.
Cobb salad, hold the egg?
I left the bacon and the blue cheese.
You left
and
it there.
And cherry tomatoes. And grilled shrimp.
And it's got chicken
in it,
right?
grilled. Well, I have it with shrimp.
I might have to do the shrimp over salad.
Put a little soy and... sesame oil and lemon and let it marinate a little bit.
I make this all the time.
An iceberg?
No, iceberg.
No, iceberg.
Isn't that the traditional way to make it?
No. With what?
Iceberg.
Make what?
Cobb salad.
No.
I mean, we have ours with spinach, but I throw arugula in it.
All right, so that's
I'm
a high
addicted to arugula.
That's not your traditional.
The only thing traditional with iceberg is a wedge.
Wedge salad.
An iceberg
and I will actually
wedge.
Eat that. I like a wedge salad.
I like a wedge.
With blue cheese and bacon.
So on Staten Island, growing up on Staten Island, we had a place called the Staten Island Pickle Works. And they distributed, I don't know if it was B&G or Kraft, or they had, you would go there for like restaurant sized dressings and pickles. Obviously, it's called the Pickle Works. And my dad used to get a blue cheese dressing, you know, the big giant things that sometimes the industry size.
Yeah.
And the chunks of blue cheese were this big. I'm holding my hands in
She's
the size
the
of a golf ball, sometimes even bigger.
Uh-huh.
And my father, whew, would take that big chunk out of there and just like smush it up and woo. So good. I only once in a while I like it. This week I've been totally into it.
What, the Cobb?
Blue cheese. They're just blue cheese in general.
I go through phases where I can't get enough of blue cheese.
Yeah. So good.
But, so I need some more. I have a new client that I started with in Short Hills. And that sort of...
That's a drive, no?
It is, but it's the same amount of drive that I go to Princeton.
Right.
And I get paid twice as much.
Right.
So...
Good.
And they love it.
Good.
They did cut it. They were a good client because they started out. They just wanted 3 meals. I told them my half day rate of $2.40, and they said, and I said, you can get 3 to 4 meals out of that. And they said, well, we're all really only interested in 3 because that's how infrequently we are at home.
But they're a couple or
it's
kids
a couple
or...
with a teenager who's an athlete. Now, from my experience doing this personal chef work. There's no bigger red flag than
a
teenager.
Right.
Okay, because already...
Plus an athlete, so he's eating really clean.
He's eating really clean, which is fine. I like to do that kind of cooking.
Right.
But he already, there was a comment from the son that, you know, by the third night he said something like, I feel like I'm eating leftovers. Now...
What?
And but you
but he's not eating leftovers.
But you
you're
have
making
this...
him fresh food.
Well, what he's saying is, in the world of personal chef work, it's different than if you're catering on site. Now, if you do a chicken cacciatore,
right?
That there's no there's nothing in that reheat that's going to hurt that chicken. It's
no,
probably
it's
going to
get better.
Be better
it's gonna
a
be
day
better.
Or two later.
Absolutely.
So you cannot make that complaint.
No.
If I do a rack of lamb. I don't send it cooked. I send it all prepped with the breadcrumb
right,
and the
right.
herbs all around it, lemon,
they
olive
shove it
oil.
In the oven. Right.
They throw it in the oven, so mm-hmm. it's fresh. The vegetables, on the other hand, yes, they're reheated. But sorry, but for the most part, as long as you kind of cook them al dente to start,
you're
you
good.
Nuke them or put them in the oven, they're perfectly fine. But a lot of people, you have a friend who was like this, just they don't like the idea of leftovers.
I love leftovers. It's my favorite thing.
Absolutely. And Melissa would not touch leftovers.
I know. That's who I'm
really?
Thinking of. Yeah.
Like, but this isn't leftovers. This is food that has been semi-prepared and now needs to be finished.
And that's the beauty
she
of...
She wouldn't touch it.
The beauty of personal chef work is that I can send... They wanted shrimp fajitas. So I did the peppers and onions in advance.
Some things are better left
over. And I made the salsa and the guacamole. Yeah.
Meatloaf
chopped
is
the
a
lettuce.
Prime example.
Or chicken cacciatore, anything any braised item. It's getting better.
And for the chicken fajitas, I mean the shrimp fajitas, I did all this other stuff ahead of time. But when it came time for the shrimp, I just put them single layer on a sheet and a little cumin, coriander, olive oil, salt, and pepper, and said, right before you serve, broil this for 10 minutes.
Right.
And that's kind of the great part about personal chef work is that I can do all that stuff that takes the most time, but then you're going to get the nice, freshly finished shrimp.
Exactly.
You know?
It's funny. I told you about that Marley Spoon thing, that Martha Stewart thing. So I, for some reason, I guess they're now on my Facebook feed. So I saw someone had posted something else and I was reading a couple of the comments because I just wanted to see what everyone else's experience is. Not that I'm ever using this. I mean, I took advantage of a coupon. I'm never doing that again. But you would not believe some of the comments were like, well, I had to cut my own onions and I had to, you know, like, this is not a personal chef coming to your house and preparing food. You're getting a package of food. It's basically just cutting out the grocery shopping. It's not cutting out the... And it's giving you a step-by-step instructions on how to prepare something. But some of these comments were like, well, you know, I had to cut this. I had to saute.
Yeah,
I had
people
to...
hate to cook. I mean, like my mom. So she wouldn't be able to do it.
I know, but you know that going
even
in.
Even with instructions.
It's a meal. It's not like a chef is going to pop out of the box and do it for you.
I guess
you still
she figured
have
it would have been all chopped ahead of time.
It's a meal preparation program. It's not.
Well, and I also think that, I mean, I've been shocked at how well these food production companies are doing. Because there's a lot of people out there that really, they kind of like the idea of cooking. But they don't know how to do
Vinny,
it.
Vinny loves it. Right?
And they don't.
I know,
you guys talk with him
I
about?
Know quite a lot of people that love it.
He loves it. He loves
and it,
it
takes them, if you know, a list of groceries, it'll take them 4 hours to get that done. Where I'm like I'm in and out of the store.
I know.
In 15
you
minutes.
And I, well, we're not normal
See,
people.
See, I like shopping.
Right.
That's my crazy.
Yeah. One girl said to me, I said, how do you, this is so much work. Why do people? And she said, because Deirdre, I read a recipe and it says one medium eggplant. And I say, what the hell is that? Okay. So you have to, some people.
Hey, when I go to foreign locales, I go to the supermarket. I'm like fascinated.
Yeah.
Like if I'm in Italy
I love going to the grocery store when we're away. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We're running out of time. Food recipes coming up.
We'll be back.
Just think about it. Winter.
I'm ready to
winter
go.
Winter recipe.
I know, because it's freezing out there.
Okay. When we come back, food.
Hey, paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Grant, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription-strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-644-5944, or go to Proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-644-5944. That's 1-800-644-5944. Or go to Proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to Proactive.com and enter promo code
radio. The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited.
They do not give up until you pay.
They put a lien on my house.
How about you? Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start. Sometimes you just need a second chance.
I call Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
At Tax Solutions Now, our affiliates are all accredited by the Better Business Bureau and members of the National Association of Tax Professionals.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Time is running out. Call Tax Solutions Now. Call 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921. 800-579-6921.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
Beans.
It's cold. Beans. It's about negative 33. I mean 33 degrees. No.
Beans.
What is
beans.
It? It's like 40 it's degrees 50, today.
It's 43 degrees according to my phone.
Right? Yeah.
Well, we have to accept
there was frost
that it's here. I should have brought my
this
my,
morning.
Not hydrangeas. What are they? Hibiscus. I should have brought them in last night. Forgot.
They're all wilted.
Might be. But I thought with the cold weather coming, we could talk about soup, which
yes.
we've done a million times. But
yes.
First, because I want you to remind me, because I never made it, your uh-huh. grandmother's minestrone soup.
My grandmother's minestrone.
And the only thing I remember is that it has no stock in it.
Correct.
And that it has red cabbage in it. And lima
no
beans.
No red cabbage. White cabbage.
White cabbage. Okay.
And lima beans. Yeah. So my grandmother's, I hope I can do this off the top of my head. My grandmother's
And you have to use real lima beans.
Minestrone.
Strong.
Because in Northern Italy, you put lots of U-N-G's and I-N-G's on the ends of things. So minestrone starts with soaking and cooking a couple of cups of lima beans, big fat lima beans. And then after they're cooked, they're not completely tender, but they're cooked enough, probably about 10, 15 minutes, so that you can slip the outer skin off. Because when you slip the outer skin off of a lima bean, then you have the two halves and then the little germination tip that's on the end of it.
Now I'm remembering why I didn't want to do this, because I don't want to pick
It's kind of a pain in the ass, but it's I think completely necessary because it's basically what thickens the sauce and makes it delicious.
Right.
So yes, you do that first, and then there is
tomato
in a giant pot. Because when I make this, I do it like five times the recipe that she makes. Because I have one of those big old Le Creuset. It's a lot of soup. I make everything a lot. Zucchini, eggplant. White cabbage. I have to think about
onion,
when
tomato.
I push it down. A little bit of tomato, not a lot. And she used to use the cutest little. I don't even know if the company makes it anymore. Those little contadina. Remember those teeny little sauce, tomato sauce.
Oh yeah, they still make them.
Do they? I think the one I buy is Cento.
The paste.
It's not paste. It's tomato sauce.
I don't know about that.
I get Cento. Now, I don't know if contadina makes it. Anywho, it's a tomato product. I mean, I could put anything probably. So zucchini, eggplant, cabbage, potatoes, tomato sauce, and all of this is put in the pot with the lima beans and water, a lot of water. Mm-hmm. And you let it cook and let it cook and let it cook.
Italian
cooks
seasoning?
For quite, no, there's a little bit of garlic that I put in at the end. Just some salt and pepper. Not even too much seasoning. When all that has cooked down for quite some time. And it does, you know, it gets a little, the viscosity of it changes because the lima beans have now broken down. It's a little cloudy.
Mm-hmm.
All the juices from the vegetables have come out.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, you put in a couple of cloves of crushed garlic. You put in a ton of Parmesan rinds.
Yeah.
Which I don't cook them all the way while I'm cooking. I'm like halfway through the process. I'll throw the rinds in.
Why halfway?
I don't want them to break down completely. I think, you know, my brothers and I used to fight over that gooey hunk of that deliciousness that's in there.
Yeah.
And if you do it the entire way, it just completely breaks down.
And Does it?
Yeah, and it goes to the bottom of the pan unless you're stirring it constantly. It kind of gets a little mushy.
I guess I've never really overdone a rind.
Yeah.
So.
And ditalini. Which is so funny because back in the day when she wrote this recipe, there was only, you know, I think it was either Ranzoni was like the only type of pasta you could buy. So it was Ranzoni number 40, which they don't make anymore. But there is one of the, you know, the cellophane packaged dry pastas that you could buy. There's one that's the same size. It's not teeny weeny. It's not quite as big as a rigatoni, but it's bigger than a normal ditalini.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice size. And that's it. And a shit ton of, pardon me, shit ton of Parmigiano Reggiano when you serve it. And it's really delicious. It's my favorite thing. It is my favorite thing.
Couldn't you buy the beans prepared in a can?
You could, but then it wouldn't be.
That'd be a lot quicker.
But then it wouldn't be Grandma's Minestrone.
Yeah, but beans are beans, right? I mean, does it make a difference?
It makes a difference, and I don't think I've ever... Can you buy lima beans in a can?
That's what I meant, prepared.
I think you can. I have noticed, though,
I would just do it the way my grandmother does.
Yeah, but that's the most time-consuming part.
No, it's not.
I would...
It's 15 minutes. You peel the shell, you throw them in, you get everything else. Not each one.
Each shell, no?
No. Well, you have to pull each shell off. I know, but it's not a big deal. Yeah. It's cooking. There's prep involved.
Rob, when it comes to
it's
beans.
Not why it's why it's not called eating. It's called cooking.
When it comes to beans, okay, I'm the first one to, you know, for time savers, to skip a step, to use the canned beans because the canned beans are fine. But.
Oh, I forgot the celery.
Celery.
And
if
a couple
you're
of swirls
doing
of olive oil.
An authentic dish, if you're doing chili, if you're doing black beans and rice and you're doing it authentically, I think that there really is a big difference between...
Start with scratch. Yeah.
To do real beans. Not necessarily hummus.
Excuse me, 1 second, because I did screw up. And to answer your question, when you're putting the ditalini in and that's still got to cook in there, you're also putting in red kidney beans. canned red kidney beans.
Oh.
So the lima bean process is just because it's breaking down for the sauce. That's basically the base of the sauce.
So it, it breaks down and it makes it thick.
Right.
Oh.
So I think I said everything. Lima beans with the shells slipped off. Cabbage, celery, zucchini, eggplant, potatoes.
Not peeled.
Eggplant is peeled. Because you want it to get mushy. And that, I'm telling you, all of these things lend itself
to... You never peeled
eggplant. No, when I make an eggplant, I don't peel it. But for this...
For this.
Yes.
All right.
It's peeled.
Because you want it to dissolve.
Yeah.
Okay. I think you might like this, even though those eggplants...
Oh, I've had I had the minestrone in Italy.
Like this?
No.
Yeah, it took her like 2 days.
What part of Italy
She was 100 years old.
What part?
Foligno.
Which is
about 2 hours north of Rome by train.
You didn't have this.
No, but I had minestrone, and it was fantastic. And it took her like 2 days to make.
Okay, two days to make.
She was like 4'9", and she was 100 years old. And she
was probably making her own stock. And
did you pay attention?
Beans and...
No, she wouldn't even let you be. The kitchen was like the size of a closet.
You couldn't watch? Could you decipher what was
in there? She appreciated if you came in and did the dishes for her because, you know, she was she only had like two pots and she kept doing them over and over.
Did you not? To decipher what was in it?
No.
Was there a lot of tomato in it?
You'd have to be there with her in the kitchen all day long because, you know, she didn't operate in a high speed.
I'm saying when you were.
But everything was scratch.
When you were consuming it, could you not discern what was what?
Just deliciousness.
Okay, can I talk about one of my favorite soups?
All right, so the next time I make Grandma's minestrone, I'll bring some.
You're going to bring that with the kale chips
please.
Next week.
No, I'm not making this next week.
I really want that soup.
I will bring you a quart. You can put it in your freezer for...
Okay, so I have like a French onion soup, but it's not the classic.
Okay.
So roasted... red onions, lots of them, with apples. Roast the apples. Cook those and you first saute some onion or leeks or whatever down with some butter, olive oil. Mm-hmm. Put in the roasted apples and onions. Add some chicken stock and simmer that for, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes. Then in a crock, you want to make the big crouton. Big round crouton, and instead of the Swiss cheese that you would normally do with a French onion soup, it's brie, and you just melt the crap out of it on the top.
That sounds good.
You invented this?
I did.
That sounds good.
Because I never heard of apples being in the French onion soup.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Rob.
Apples and onions lend themselves beautifully to one another, especially with cabbage or pork.
When I was one of my earliest cooking jobs and I had to do, I was in charge of doing the soups for En Route, which was the gourmet deli at a Princeton train station.
Yeah.
And we had to do 60 quarts a week. And the rule was, whenever possible, you were only allowed to use the leftovers that would come back from catering jobs.
Oh, this is where you made your, what was the soup you made? Not gremolata. Hang on. I'll think of it. Ratatouille.
Cream of ratatouille.
Right.
So you can take like
any dish. Oh, I'm so proud of myself that I actually got that out of my brain.
If you could take any dish, like a ratatouille, and you might think that, oh, cream and eggplant.
No, hello, delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Cream of ratatouille. And that you take leftover ratatouille. All of your cooking's done. You can just dump that with some, because there already has the onions and the garlic and the peppers in it. Add a whole bunch of vegetable stock, ideally, and then season it with salt and pepper. Finish it with heavy cream.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds delicious.
Delish. Other favorite soup.
How do you prepare the apples? You take the skin off of them and you fry them? I mean, you put them...
Roast
them on the pan?
You could saute. This particular version, I like
roasted
flavor.
Right.
But you could saute them with the onions.
You're off the mic.
That way.
Huh? You're off mic.
Oh, I'm off mic.
So you can do it that way.
Yeah. What's another favorite?
My favorite
soup.
I mean, if I could only eat one food item for the rest of my life, it would be soups. I love soups. I even like bad soup.
What? Is that Progresso?
No, like, you know.
So if you don't like to eat leftovers, you should never eat soup at a restaurant.
Well, Well,
because it's made out of leftovers.
No, but it's been transformed into something else.
I know. Yeah. I'm talking about for people who are.
I guess, yeah. People that don't like leftovers, I suppose. Maybe they don't like soup because it's lots of different components.
Well, they just didn't know until today's show. They found out the shocking truth about soup.
Come on.
I'm just remembering a soup. It was a recipe. I didn't come up with it, but it was called, I forget what country it came from, but it was called Crema de Lima. Mm. So it was cream of lima bean soup.
Sounds delicious. Mm. And I was just
and
going
it had caraway in that, seeds in it.
I was just going in that direction because I love a really good split pea soup. And my sister and I have been making, do you remember Laurel's Kitchen? It was an old vegetarian cookbook from like the late 70s, early 80s. And they have the most split pea soup that has limas, barley, a ton of carrots, celery seed. It's a really, really good soup. But of course, I would put ham in it. You know, I wouldn't make it vegetarian. I'd also put ham in it. Really good.
But minestrone, you don't put in chicken broth or anything.
Sorry?
The minestrone, you don't put in chicken.
In my grandmother's minestrone, in this version. But
there are plenty of minestrone recipes that call for stock.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would think that would make it richer. But maybe not.
It's adding salt. It's adding flavor.
I think in this case,
depends.
You're relying on, it's probably the cabbage that's giving the most flavor.
I'm sure my grandmother didn't have a chicken, you know? It was just vegetables and water and legumes and pasta. It was a very cheap dish to prepare.
I remember my grandmother.
In the mountains of Genoa. You know.
Where they probably wouldn't, if they had a chicken, they'd take the bones and they'd make a stock out of that.
Although I have to say, this is this is my great-grandmother's recipe from Genoa. Because my grandmother was born in New York, in the Lower East Side on Mulberry Street. So it's my great-grandmother's recipe.
Mm.
And she probably didn't have a chicken.
My grandmother thought it was so funny when she would watch me make stock.
Mm-hmm.
And like chicken stock with all the bones and the vegetables. Mm-hmm. And then you know how you strain it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take all that stuff and you throw it away.
I know when we're making,
she was like, don't
like
throw that away, right?
She laughs because if you grow up in the Depression, she said that was a feast. You know, now people just throw it away because it's stock.
Although,
but I try to eat.
It doesn't have much flavor left.
It doesn't, but it can. Yeah. You can recycle it and turn it into another smaller quantity of something. Yeah. You can make a hash with it. All those puree, all those vegetables, and specifically if there's chicken, you know, pick through it. I actually love that process of picking.
My grandmother, my grandfather grew up, in the Depression, and then they wound up being successful, and they had an Italian restaurant in the city, and so we would always, the standing joke, we would have this big feast on Sundays, and it would be, the braised beef that was cooking in the sauce all day, and then another course with shrimp and another pasta course, and we have everything all lined up, and my grandmother would say, "Hey, Vinny, I wonder what the poor people are doing." Which is only funny because they lived through the Depression.
Yeah.
But because they remember, just to eat, just to have homemade, Baileys.
And then the appreciation level is so high.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they have the contrast.
That's why I think our parents' generation, so difficult to see this affluent, the way people nowadays, the affluent, the things that people take for granted, when you grew up in a Depression era.
Isn't that why they say the millennials are so, they don't vote, they don't do anything because they're just like glued to their iPhones.
No.
Like they've had it all forever.
Such a contrast. It's only a couple of it's only two or three generations,
What's your other favorite soup?
My other favorite soup, I like a good kale bean sausage.
Mm-hmm. This goes kale again. We're going full circle here.
I like thick soups.
Oh, yeah.
I like
chunky.
Like,
I don't
think,
I don't
I'm not
like
a consomme gal.
I like a puree.
I do not. I like the texture.
Like a tomato, cream of tomato herb.
Never liked cream of tomato soup, ever. I think every time we had grilled cheese sandwiches when we were kids, there was tomato soup, and I hated it.
Well, Campbell's is not good.
No, no, my mom would make good tomato soup. Yeah, no.
I had Campbell's.
Never liked it.
You dip the cheese in there and chip the sandwich into the tomato soup.
The Campbell's.
I like beef barley. Beef barley is another one of my favorites.
All right, what is our the homework for our listeners? To make soup?
Well, they should. It's getting chilly. Although it's supposed to be warm tomorrow. Isn't it supposed to be in the 60s?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would start making soup. And you're going to bring for next weekend?
I'm bringing kale chips. I don't know about if I'm making minestrone. I'm definitely bringing kale chips.
Grandma Katie's minestrone.
Actually, great-grandma Adelaide.
Great-grandma Adelaide.
Who I am named after. My middle name is Adelaide.
Wow.
Addie. Was my mom's name.
Okay, gotta wrap it up, guys.
So next week,
definitely kale chips. I'm not promising anything more than that.
Maybe minestrone soup.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
All right, we'll see you then.